Jordan Murray, journalist at Business News.
I'm Nick Van Haddam, the president of the Law Society of WA.
And Brodie McCulloch, running for Lord Mayor of the City of Perth.
Thanks for joining us today, Brodie. We've got a few questions, and first, what do you think are the key governance lessons learned from the City of Perth inquiry?
Yeah, so having read through the inquiry and looked at, you know, there was a lot of policies and procedures challenges, but for me it all boils down to three things: leadership, governance, and culture. So the culture challenge is probably the biggest for me, where it wasn't really focused on as much in the report, because culture is hard. It's a really hard thing to get right, and culture is everything that your organisation does. So what I was looking at was, well, what were the process and policy procedures and the leadership challenges that they had that then resulted in a poor culture? And you could see it across the board from the systems they had in place, encouraged, you know, siloing across the business, which then meant the governance systems weren't set up for collaboration across silos within the organisation. The relationships between council, CEO and the councillors themselves were really challenging, and just those norms weren't in place where having a respectful process of how people deal with each other just had gone out the window by the end of it. So from looking at where things are going next, we really need to focus on building a culture from the ground up, and having someone who's, you know, over the last 10 years, I've built a culture from the ground up, because I think it really is a reset opportunity for the City of Perth, where we have this inquiry report, we have COVID-19, which has meant a whole range of different changes happening very quickly. We're in the middle of, I think, the eye of a storm at the moment, where JobKeeper's about to run out, JobSeeker is about to be reduced. Perth has gone well through COVID, but the city's going to need a leadership who can put in governance and has strong governance experience, but also has experience building a solid culture to have a big impact moving forward.
Brodie, I'm interested to hear a bit more about how you've approached culture while you were in the private sector. How did you build a culture at Space Cubed, and what were some of the key challenges that you faced while running that business?
Yeah, so culture really boils down to, it's the things that you do rather than the things that you don't do. So being really focused on making sure that people see you leading by example. And I think that's where the city had big problems, where all of the staff saw what the council was doing, saw the infighting, and then that became the norm within the organisation. So through Space Cubed over 10 years, and also I've been on a number of boards, so not-for-profit, a community bank, and also a university. And being on those boards has meant that I've seen both sides of the table, seeing what from a governance perspective you need to put in place, but then also from a CEO perspective from growing Space Cubed. So culture comes down to, you know, you being willing to do what needs to be done in the business and supporting your staff to deliver. The big one for me is about enabling your team, but also with Space Cubed, it's been a whole community. We have thousands of members from a whole range of different industries who are looking for us for leadership, and we were able to demonstrate this through COVID-19, where Space Cubed and myself were on videos every week, making sure we over-communicated about what were the challenges and where we were heading next, making sure that our staff were enabled to lead and to actually make decisions, because things were moving very quickly during that time, and there wasn't enough time to have all the information, have all the facts to make decisions. So empowering your staff to lead, and that's really my approach, is that leadership's around service, it's around serving the community that you're there to support, and that's the approach I'd bring to the role of Lord Mayor.
Absolutely. I guess, and you've kind of touched on that there, I'm curious to hear a bit more broadly about your role, your approach to good governance if you are elected mayor. What does good governance under Brodie McCulloch's mayoralship look like?
Yeah, so good governance is about clearly understanding everyone's role in the organisation. Mm. And this was one of the big challenges that the previous council had, where the council and the mayor are there to be the voice of the community. They're there to represent the community, but also to set strategy and direction based on that community feedback. Then the goal is work with the CEO to put in place the strategies, processes, procedures to actually deliver on that feedback and make sure the community has, you know, what it needs from the city. That all completely fell apart. So you had councillors that were dealing directly with staff within the city. There was all sorts of allegations around bullying. I think at one point 40% of the staff felt like it wasn't a super safe work environment, and that's resulted in lots of turnover. So everyone being very clear and understanding their role from a governance focus is going to be really important. Two things that I'll do straight away, well, within the first 3 months, maybe not the first week, is work with the executive and the new council to go through governance training, so working with AICD or Governance Institute of Australia to actually work with them, do a sort of 3 to 5 day course together so that everyone has really clearly articulated to them and has the case studies, and if they haven't had the experience, they now have had a joint workshop experience to actually work together and understand their role in the council and their role as an executive, and making sure that everyone is really clear across that so that we don't have those issues from the past. The second thing will really be about working with the new CEO to make sure that that relationship is really strong. So put in place, what are the systems for the council and the CEO to work together? Making sure that that's really clear and that also that is set up for success from day one. And it isn't open to miscommunication. Some of the feedback from the report really was around, you know, the CEO, the council and the exec hadn't actually, in some cases, met to discuss how they were actually going to work together to get outcomes. So, of course, giving open and honest feedback early is something that I've been able to do with Space Cubed, and that open way of working with your team means that you remove any chances of that miscommunication, which is really at the core of when issues develop. So having that open process, having that open communication, making it transparent to the whole organisation and to the community so that people know how council and exec are working together, and so they know, you know, what the boundaries are as well. So if it's something that the administration's meant to be doing, they don't come and complain to their councillors about it. Or if they do, there's a clear process to then address that rather than a councillor just going and talking straight to the person that they'd contacted in the administration. So all of these things will add up to making a much more transparent, clear council and City of Perth.
We understand that business relies on being informed. That's why Business News is your most reliable source of news, industry insights, and business connections. To stay fully informed, we encourage you to subscribe to our emails, flick through our magazine, and visit businessnews.com.au for daily news updates. It's the best way to ensure you have the information you need to be future ready. Business News. More news, more insights, more connections.
I just wonder whether you might have alluded to part of the answer to the next question in terms of understanding roles and boundaries and barriers. The next question is, can the City of Perth do more to address homelessness?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a really interesting one, and it has become a hot issue within the campaign. And so my view is that the councillors and the mayor that are elected are there to represent the residents and businesses of Perth. And it's got some broader representation as well across through the Capital City Act across the whole of the city and recognises Perth as the capital city. So taking that into account, there is a responsibility to the whole community, and the feedback from the community is they want more done around homelessness, and more done in a much more compassionate and empathic way than I think we're seeing in the broader media at the moment. So it is driven by people wanting us to have an impact in the community, a positive impact on everyone. Everyone who lives in the city is part of the community and deserves sort of respect and support. So my approach to this is that we were meeting with the Communities Minister, Simone McGurk, last week, discussing what the state government's 10-year strategy is around homelessness. Unfortunately, we're right at the beginning of that strategy. They finished the co-design process, and it started about, you know, within the last 12 months. So we're right at the start of that process. Common ground's been announced. There's projects that are starting to happen, but all of those things are going to take time. In the short term, my focus is really on working with the social service providers and looking at what's the proactive outreach services, where a number of them had asked for more funding for those services to work, you know, with homeless people to help get them access to services and support, rather than them having to come into a shelter, which doesn't work as well as it should, especially when there's around 700 homeless people. So working with the social service providers to identify any gaps, having a housing first approach, so working with the state government around actually building more housing, and there's a 9-year waitlist for social housing at the moment, so a huge challenge. Common ground will be ready within the next 2 years, and fast tracking any other sort of intermediate accommodation. So there's a whole range of programs that could be rolled out around using public assets, so car parks, all of these things we've been talking about for a long time, but it actually hasn't happened. The City of Perth, my understanding, has offered specific space for being transitioned to homelessness service space, but But I believe at the moment they haven't got the funding to actually deliver those services. So it's really a partnership between the state government, the City of Perth and service providers. So there's a whole range of things that can be done. But my general approach to this is working with the community, working with social service providers. Business as well hasn't been particularly involved in this conversation, and the state government, to work out what are the short-term things we need to do when the reality is COVID will potentially make this situation worse. Less people, you know, more harsher economic conditions, all of these things combined. So short term, what can we do? And then medium term, getting more housing built and the state government delivering on that and the city supporting the state to deliver on that will be important.
Is there a role for police in the response to homelessness?
So, and we need to be careful that we don't make homelessness a criminal issue. It's not. People are homeless at the end of, and a majority of people who have, you know, found themselves homeless are at the end of a series of events that have led to that, whether that's drugs and alcohol, domestic violence, the economic conditions. People can find, and we saw this during COVID, where all of a sudden, with a lot of our industry shut down, there was long lines at Centrelink. So that really means that I think everyone could see at that point that anyone could become homeless. It's not a matter of, you know, a small group of people who are creating challenges within an antisocial behaviour within the city. So I think it's a joint approach with police being ready to respond and also using technology. So part of my policy platforms around a smart city. So using technology, the city has CCT infrastructure. There's a whole range of technologies that could be brought in to better help us understand the data and understand where there could be issues, making it easier for shopkeepers to actually notify of any potential issues so that police can respond more quickly. All of this technology is there. We just need to use it more effectively. I think there's a role for police, but there's a role for the whole community, businesses and residents as well.
I'm curious to hear more about that role for business. What can businesses do? I'm specifically thinking around vacant space in the city. Is there maybe where residential providers can jump in? What role do they have in this particular issue?
Yeah, I think it's probably more around like job opportunities and training opportunities. So I was meeting with the owner of TISC last week, and he's actually running his own programs around supporting homeless people. So they provide food. He's setting up his own training program at the moment as well to help people gain skills and then transition into full-time employment. So I think that's where the business community can provide a lot of support. Also, there's a lot of empty space in the city. The City of Perth has space as well. But the key challenge with that is the cost really comes around the services being provided, because you don't want to just have someone give them a space and then not have the services being delivered that can transition them out of homelessness. So the businesses I talk to want to help, but they can't see a clear pathway to help. And that's where the Lord Mayor can really change the narrative around this, include business, include residents, and make sure that we're actually having a joint-up impact and people understand the challenges, rather than it going straight to being a big safety concern. It's actually about how do we support people and members of the community to get back on their feet and access the services they need to get jobs again and get employment, get housing, and get the support they need.
Brody, I just want to ask you to wrap up today. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the lawyers of Perth today?
Yeah, so I think the city is going through a huge challenging time. So there was the inquiry report, which, you know, the 350-odd recommendations that are in there is something that needs to be addressed. But really the bigger challenge I see is around where the city heads next. So we've had 2.5 years without any civic leadership. There's been COVID-19, which has had a huge economic impact on the city, which, like I said, I don't think we've actually seen what that's going to do yet. And we've got a really big opportunity of where we sit in the world. So fastest growing in the region in the world over the next sort of 30 to 50 years. So we need to look at, there's been some challenges, but we've got huge opportunities. What are the short-term things we can do to address those challenges while planning for the long-term? And as Lord Mayor, my focus would be on addressing those two things. My experience and governance and in business allow me to do that. I'm running completely independently as well. So one of the key things from the report was around factions and factionalism within the council. The council needs to be made up of a diverse group of people from the community who can then represent that community and make decisions on their behalf. So I think that independence, that business background, my governance experience, and also that general approach and mindset to innovation and entrepreneurship, and the city coming through COVID and out of a big reset period, needs someone who can lead it into that future, which is what I can bring to the role.
Brody, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brady.
Law Society membership has never been more important. As the anticipated implementation of the Legal Profession Uniform Law Scheme means big changes to the profession in Western Australia, membership keeps you abreast of these significant changes. Stay on top of how changes affect you with the Law Society's Uniform Law CPD series, totally free for Law Society members with CPD Freedom. For more details, please visit the Law Society's website today.